Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we are so encouraged to be here to encourage you this morning. Joining me to encourage you this morning is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Also joining me is John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Well, I just want to encourage you this morning, if you are wondering as you're looking at the news and looking at what's happening in the workplace, and I want to encourage you that our God is in control. Realize that we have a Father who loves us so much that He's going to rock the world to rock our hearts back to Him. And so this is a good thing. We just need to turn our hearts back to God. Realize that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. If you're at your office this morning or wherever you are driving down the road, I mean, don't close your eyes to pray, by the way. And don't text while you drive. But just relax and enjoy. We're going to encourage you this morning. We'll give a shout out this morning to Peter. Just want to let you know, man, they're wearing your shirts. They're wearing them out of my office. I wore one last night. Love them. Love them. Love them. Give a shout out to Marjane. Good morning, Marjane. Pull out that calculator. That's a lot of dough to calculate. Good morning, Jordan. We'll give a shout out this morning to our new audience, new members of our audience, to Debbie and Evelyn and Candy and Betty and Lola and Deborah and Sheila and Marcia and Jan and, oh my goodness, Shirley and Flora and Mabel and Diane. And there's so many wonderful new members joining our audience, sitting in our virtual stadium. Welcome to the VFN Radio Stadium. We're here to encourage you 24-7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton. And John Ramos. Well, here we are, guys. Can you believe it's Wednesday? Oh, my goodness. It's just,
oh, my goodness.
I don't want to say the word is flying. I'm really tired of hearing the word just flying. It doesn't fly. The day doesn't fly, right?
No.
It's like it just quickly moves by.
Yeah.
You know, Steve and I was talking, a shout out this morning to Steve in Pensacola. We were talking, it was preparing for Pittsburgh. He's like, you can hear this tick. You know, remember the space shuttle sitting on the, we used to have one, yeah, sitting on the launch pad down in Cape Hatteras. And
Cape Canaveral.
I'm sorry. I was up there with John for a moment. Cape Hatteras. No, Cape Hatteras is in Virginia.
Cape Canaveral, isn't it?
Cape Hatteras is out there where Nicole's at, you know, on the coast of Virginia, because that was where all the waters meet out there. Anyway, so and the countdown is just like, you know, 30, 29, 28, Houston, we got a liftoff, you know, and it's like, he's just, we're talking and we just feel the Lord just counting down the launch of, of everything that God's going to do through Steve and in Pittsburgh. And it's so exciting, Pittsburgh. I mean, prepare, get your hearts ready, Pittsburgh, because there's a firebrand who's in love with God and in love with you. And God has made His heart known for the Pittsburgh people through and in Steve. And you're just going to have a treasure. I mean, you know, you're going to have a treasure there. But rest assured, I will be there with them. I'll be there with them. I'm looking forward to travel in the United States with all the family that's all over the place. And we're getting set up to be able to do that so we can broadcast straight from, you know, New York City with John, and Pittsburgh, you know, with Steve, and Denver with Brett and Sharon, and Lakeland and Orlando and Tampa with Cindy, and Houston with Barbara, and Klein with Kichara, you know, and soon in North Carolina with Jackery, and I mean, all the things. I mean, even the Cantamites, you know what I'm saying? Even the Cantamites. And as God's just continuing to do awesome, awesome things. And so I just want to encourage you. I mean, you know, if you haven't yet, we're fine. I mean, our audience, if you haven't heard about the virtual stadium, you'll hear it sometime today. You know, we're excited to have you sit down in the seat in this virtual stadium to be encouraged. You know, realize that you can sit any time of the day you know, whether you're in your car or whether you're at home or in your office, and just let encouragement come over you. Let the light of God's reality and truth come over you. Understand that you can look the truth square in the face, reality square in the face, if you understand God's perspective of it. Because the enemy likes to do things to cause people to be fearful. Mm-hmm. And so people just kind of bury their head in the sand of the denial. It don't exist. It don't exist. It don't exist. That looks kind of funny after a while when you're thinking, you know, that, you know, that, say, well, I'm not going to talk about being a Lions fan. You know, at some point, you know, you just got to face it. You know, people get tired of denial after a while because they're having to live it. You know, you keep denying our reality. We want you to talk about our reality. But when you know God's truth about it and God's perspective, and that God is the creator of all things, he holds all things together, and he protects those who stay in him, who put their trust in him, then you can look at the truth. You know, and if we've failed, which we have, you know, if we've come short, well, John,
and
we can make things right. You know, we can make things right at the cross. That's what's so awesome about Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, people wanted to deny Jesus because that's the only place that you can make things right. Mm-hmm. It's at the feet of Jesus, at the cross of Christ. But you can make things right. You know, righteousness means this: right standing with God. Somebody says, "Well, you can't be righteous." Well, there's no one righteous. You know, no man that's righteous. The only one righteous is God, you know, and Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so, but understand this, because of what Jesus did, if we acknowledge our failures and our awesome need for a Savior and accept what he did on the cross, at that point, we're in right standing with God, which means even though we don't feel righteous, you know, even though, you know, we are a Saints fan, even though we are, they'll feel that way. We know by faith that we are. Mm-hmm. So when you see that a righteous man, when God says that a righteous man, a fool who denies God is blown away by the storm, but a righteous man is not uprooted, you can say, don't be defeated by the mentality of who you were before you knew Christ. Understand now that you know him, you're in right standing with God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not some righteous, you know, religious zealot. You're right before God because of Jesus and your reliance and your dependency on him, which means your roots go deep and the storm cannot remove you according to your faith in this reality that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to get back to understanding that we've been made right in God. We're in right standing before God. He says, and because Jesus has done all this, that we can approach the throne of the creator of the universe, who sits on a throne in the center of the universe, surrounded by an emerald rainbow with lightning and thunder, this booming from his throne room, with angels surrounding him, calling out, "Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Worthy is your name. Worthy." And think about that. All this is happening, and we can walk in the midst of all of that boldly and go, "Dad," or "Abba." That's Hebrew, right?
Yeah.
Or Greek, Hebrew?
It's Hebrew.
Abba? That means daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And the angels go, "Shh. One of his sons are here. One of his daughters are here. Shh." I mean, the angels stand in awe of what Jesus did for us. And he says in Song of Solomon, we caught his eye. We caught his eye. And he has, you know what I'm saying? He's like, you know, we just caught his eye. Believe it or not, right?
Yeah.
You know, for example, when I saw you smoking your Bible, Chris, you know, I just kind of glanced over there and I caught your eye. It's this future story we got to tell you. You know, the word was in Chris before it was in Chris.
Oh, it was in him, all right.
It was in. We know the future story. But listen, this is how awesome you are, that the creator of the universe was glancing, looking around, and all of a sudden he saw you out of the corner of his eye. And he goes, "I am in love with you. I'm in love with you." I mean, think about that. It's like, why do you think the adversary is doing everything he can to do to change this perception and destroy what a father looks like and destroy the trying to destroy the name, the perception of the name of Jesus and to change who God is and change who the true prophet of God, all this different stuff. Because he's jealous of that God, the creator of the universe, you call his eye and he goes, wow, I'm in love with you. I want. But then there was an issue. It was a sin issue. It was the fact that how can I get close to the one that I love because I'm in love with you? And how do I do that without killing you? Because my very presence, sin can't exist in my presence, but you got the sin in your life from the fall of the man since the garden. I want to be close to you. And so what can I do? You know, I love you so much. I love you so much. You caught my eye so much. My heart so burns for you that I'm going to give my son for you. I'm going to give my son for you. I'm going to have my son. He's going to come from the splendors right now where he is with me now. And he's going to be birthed like a man like you are. Because he's God, but now he's going to become a man, all man and all God. And I'm going to hover over this virgin named Mary, over her womb with my spirit. And the seed of God will go into the womb of woman. And in that, I will conceive my son. So he will forever be a man. And he'll forever be God. He gave up the splendors of heaven and this perfectness of godness to be able to come down to be all man and all God. And he, Jesus, is and was so in love with the Father and so in love with you that he wants us to be his bride. I mean, this is a love story. This is a love story. And so Jesus was so in love with you and so in love with the Father that he walked on the face of this earth just like you walk and just like I walk. And he was tempted in every way. So don't think the way you're being tempted that God can't relate to it. That's just other people can't relate to it. God's been tempted. Jesus was tempted in every way. But yet he didn't fall to it like we fall into it and fall into it and that type of thing. And so he walked sinless. He didn't make any mistakes. He didn't do nothing or say nothing unless the Father wanted him to say or do it. Why? Because you caught his eye. You caught his eye, and he was working out a plan to bring you into his presence forever. I mean, he wants to live with you forever. And he had to work out a way to do that. And he did it through his son, and his son did it through the Father, and they did it because of you. And he walked a sinless life, but all of a sudden, out the middle of nowhere, about around the age of 33 years of age, after he's walked in his ministry and made the Father known, is what he was doing. That's why we always talk about meet my Father. It's about making the Father known. That's our ministry. We want to make the one whose eye you caught known to you. And so he said, this is what I'm going to do. My perfect son, who's made no mistakes, not one, but can relate to your issues because he's been tempted in every way, just like you. And he can explain to me, by the way, he can explain to me in the future and all the time about what's going on, because God doesn't, you know, he understands the answer. But he does. The question is like, it just doesn't even compute with him. You know, why would sin be? And so all of a sudden, the Father God, whose eye you caught, he took all the sin, all the mistakes, all the failures, all the downfallings, everything that's ever gone wrong, did go wrong, has gone wrong, or ever will go wrong. All the sins, all your failures, all of our mistakes, and he took it all at one time and he just dumped it on his son, because that was the only way that the one who caught his eye that he can have a relationship with. That was the only way. That's why religion is trying to take this away from you. That's why men are saying, hey, you need to be a go-between. I'm a go-between between you and God. That's why they're telling you don't need to abide with him. Listen, he loves you and he wants to abide with you. Quit eating another man's groceries and realize God wants to feed you. Taste and see the Lord is good. He wants to commune with you. And so he dumped all of our sin on Jesus. Jesus willingly took the sin and he nailed him to the cross. Why? Because sin has to be paid for. God is a just God, and he's the one that justifies. He had to deal with sin, and he dealt with sin once and for all by allowing his son to be the sin sacrifice for us. He paid the price. The one whose eye you caught, he was so in love with you and is so in love with you that he dumped all of our wrongs that ever was on his son. And then he struck his son. He literally struck his son who he loves so he didn't have to strike you. Mm-hmm. And then he died. And then Jesus is so awesome. I mean, he's on the cross. You know, all his sin is upon him, and his father has turned his face away from him because the one who called our eye couldn't turn his eye to his son because now his son had sin on him. And he turns his face. That had never happened to his son. And he says, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? And this is the reason why, because we've caught his eye. And then all of a sudden, before he passes on the cross, Jesus says this, and oh my goodness, we need God's grace for this. He said, Father, hold not this sin against them, for they know not what they're doing. I mean, they're nailing him to a cross. They're calling God Satan. Everything good, they're calling bad. And he's done nothing wrong. Huge injustices. But he entrusted himself who judges justly, the one whose eye we call. And then he dies. His body, spirit leaves his body. They put him in a tomb, and it looks like it's over. Everybody's terrified. Everybody that was following him was terrified. Oh, my goodness, they killed our leader. They killed Jesus. What happened to his kingdom? Where do we go? And one guy ran so fast. He was so terrified when he saw what happened. He ran so fast, he literally ran out of his clothes.
Yeah.
And he ran so fast, his clothes stayed there, and he ran. And everybody's in hiding. What do we do? Oh, my goodness, what do we do? And it looks like it's over. And let me tell you something. It is not over. It is not over. It is not over because on the third day,
mm-hmm.
when it looked like it was totally over and they were going to go dress his body in the tomb, they go and they find out it's like, he ain't here. Where is he at? He's gone.
Right.
The Lord's gone. He's gone. Think about it. Oh my goodness, where somebody stole his body. And so they come running out and they say, you know, who took him? And they didn't realize they were talking to him who they thought he took. It's like, this is him. They go, oh my goodness, this is Jesus. You were just dead. And he goes, but you're alive. And and so they hug him and he goes, don't touch me yet because I have not yet went to the Father and put my blood on the mercy seat in heaven, which you've only seen a shadow of, but there is a once and for all up there waiting for me to come. And so then he says, go tell the disciples and Peter. Go tell the disciples in America that I'm coming. I'm here. I'm alive. And they go tell them, and they say, this ain't true. That couldn't be. I saw him dead. There's no way that he can be. I'm going to go see for myself. So Peter, and they just ran as fast as they could. It was John and Peter. Ran as fast as they could, go into the tomb to see what's going on. Peter beats them first, and they get there, and there's an angel there. An angel is right there in there saying, listen, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? The one that was dead is now alive. Jesus, see, the difference in our God and all these false gods is their God is dead, and our God is alive. And you caught his eye. He's in love with you. That's why the enemy tells you all these lies. That's why he has your self-worth beat down. And he tells you you're good for nothing. And he causes you to fall in sin. He's the one that tricked you. He's the one that deceived you. He's the one that put you on the ground. He's the one that kicked you in the ribs. And then he looks at you and goes, look at you. Look what you've done. And it was all his lies. Right. And all of that. While you're dripping with the sin of all the things that you've done in your life, like the woman caught in adultery, he looks at us and says, where are your accusers? Because she caught his eye. Listen, it's time for us as God's people to reboot. We got to rethink this thing. Listen, if he's madly in love with you, and he is, and if you call his eye and you have, and if you've been downloaded by all these lies of the adversary and you feel like you have no worth, realize that he is a liar and he's the father of lies. When he lies, he speaks his native language understand, you got to find out what the truth is. That's why you abide. Mm-hmm. You get in his word because the word, the Bible tells you the truth, not some man's interpretation of the Bible, not some other mysterious angel that appears to somebody in the in upstate New York or somebody in, you know, the Eastern cultures or somebody down in India. The Bible. And find out. You go, oh my goodness, the enemy was telling me a lie, but now I've read the truth. And so the light of God's word shines and exposes the lie. And then we can say, you know, I couldn't adjust my belief based on that. I call his eye. I call it the eye of the creator of the universe. And that's what really blows people away. They say, well, how can that person end up in heaven? They had such a rough life. You just don't understand. They had a rough life because they believed the lie, but all alone they call his eye.
Right.
He doesn't hate you. He loves you. He's not wanting to destroy you. He's wanting to give you eternal life. His plans for you are good. Yes, you're going to have to believe that. The most important thing about you is what you think about God. But when you receive, that's what called by it's called faith. I receive, Lord, oh my goodness. The only way I can be in relationship with the one whose eye I caught is through your son, Jesus Christ. That's why they try to do away with Jesus, because he's the gateway. Every other way is a thief and a liar. This is a good thing.
Right.
So I just want to encourage you this morning. I just want to encourage you that the creator of the universe, the one who sits encircled by an emerald rainbow, who has lightning and thunder just booming and firing off from his throne with angels all around them crying, holy, 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 with just torches, these huge fiery torches just burning, roar. This huge fire just is burning, this witness, and these angels that have eyes on their wings and all over their body, and they're just flying and hovering, and some of them are covering their eyes, and some of the wings are covering their body, and they're just glancing at him. When they glance at the one who's in love with you, they go, oh, holy, holy are you. Oh, my goodness, and they cover their eyes again. Well, think about that. They can't even glance hardly at the one who glanced at you and fell in love with you. This is a love affair. This is a love affair. He is so in love with you that he will shake this earth to its core to get your attention. He will shake your relationships. He'll shake your money. He'll shake your politics. He'll shake your government. He'll shake you down to a holding cell just so you finally look up and go, is that you looking at me? Do you really want me? And that's where the song came from. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Because he got the revelation that saved a wretch like me. If you want to meet him, he loves you. But you got to make a choice. You got to find. You got to get in touch with him. You can do this right now by calling out to him. Just, Jesus, I want to know you. Go to meetmyfather.org. Go to meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories because we wanted to make the Father known to you to kind of find out, you know, we're all the same. But listen, despite what people may think of us, we call his eye. We'll be right back. Yeah, I think about that, promise keepers, when Coach McCartney, began, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get, men together, and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is, when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, and they went back to sleep, and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. And God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen. And all we realized, that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, you know, that, you know, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. And then when he would preach once, think about it, when he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today. And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces a someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's a dollar a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. You know, people don't believe one day, used to play football. Remember that 5 minutes?
In the vapor.
Yeah, the vapor. Yeah, that vapor. That was a vapor in a vapor. No, he really did it. He was the Mako. I remember he had a picture of him playing. Well, you're actually sitting on a bench, but I remember the picture's in the bench. I don't know. I didn't remember the picture of you on the bench.
Oh, my goodness.
He had the bandana on.
It's because the offense was on the field.
He looked like Deion Sanders, man. Oh, you were in the offense?
Well, when you play defense, you're not on there when the offense is on the field.
Oh, you were playing defense.
Yeah.
Defense. Oh, okay.
He's a little defensive. He's a little defensive.
The bandana was for the helmet across the forehead. It would always rub me raw, so that's why you do it.
Okay. It wasn't to protect your hair.
It wasn't for a style by any means.
It held down his mullet.
Oh, I did not.
I thought
have
he had
one.
Feather.
No, he didn't.
Feather thing.
No, at that time. I did you wear your Oakleys when you were playing?
Oh my goodness! Moving on.
Those okay. Pictures. We need those pictures.
Oh, we have them.
We have them.
We have transparent. You mean about transparent? Oh, we have transparency. we have. Oh, it's amazing. Got some great stuff. Thanks to his mother. She is so sweet. We have a shout out this morning to Renee, and thank you. We sat on the floor laughing, digging through photos. I thought, you know, she's so sweet. I was like, oh my goodness, she's got a streak here going. And she's like, look at this one. Look at this
oh,
one.
Oh my gosh.
You get she pulling them out, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Actually, we have pictures of, you know, Pat in the early radio days. He has his earphones on, or whatever you call these things. And he is sitting there with the, he's getting ready for radio. Remember that? You were probably about, I don't know, half a day old.
Well, there it is, right there.
I see it on the torch.
Oh yeah, that.
Let me pull that up real quick.
Remember the big old the headphones. Huge headphones?
Yeah, they're huge. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me to encourage you is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos, the Mako, Pat Hamilton. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Isn't that beautiful? It's like, you know, how we caught God's eye. If you missed the first part of this hour, you understand you've caught God's eye. You've got to understand how awesome you are in the context of this awesome God. Listen. Yesterday, we'll talk a little bit about God's news behind the news. There's so much to be fulfilled right now. You know, if you're hearing this segment without hearing the first segment, you probably won't go back and hear the first segment and hear this segment. Our president, the president of America, you know, and we talked about, you got to hear yesterday. It's so important that God does not see us as individuals in the context of a nation. We are a nation of Americans. And so he doesn't see us as Democrats or Republicans or independents, as men or women. He doesn't see us of different nationalities. He just says Americans. So when you see a group of Americans stand up and deny God three times, which happened at the DNC, then we can't just go, oh, well, look at them. Mm-hmm. They are us. You know, they're us. And so you got to hear that in yesterday's. What is that segment and highlights? You can find that out while we're looking. But the reason why I'm talking about that is that now after that happened, after the American leader and the platform said we want to remove God from the platform, we want to remove Israel as the capital of Jerusalem from the platform, we want to remove Hamas as the enemy of Israel and Jerusalem, understand that. And you can find out about this on the VFN Torch. I mean, just type in Islam, why you can, and find out, you know, what you can, why you can. Mm-hmm. But understanding that the Hamas is like the militant arm that of the Muslim Brotherhood, but they're so separate. It's like a covert, secret arm, militant arm, and that's where they do all these different things. That's why the Hamas, you see this going in. Mm-hmm. You know, how come the Hamas shows up first and then the Muslim Brotherhood comes into power second? It's because they're two in the same. And you can find out. We have a whiteboard drawing on the VFN Torch and just explains the Muslim Brotherhood, how it works, what their faith is, what they believe in. And that's exactly. So this happens. This is happening right this moment. This is what our president's doing. And so then our president says when on the 24th of the month, Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, or you can say Jacob, you know, Israel, Jacob,
right?
You know, is coming to America, to the United Nations, and the prime minister has never met, ever not met, with the president of the United States when he's come to America. And our president, President Barack Obama, is making a choice not to meet with him on the 24th. And so, and we're looking at, that's like, 12 days away.
Yeah.
I mean, and so immediately then the response is the same day that he's saying that the Egyptians who not all the Egyptians, but the Muslims in Egypt. Who is president is the Muslim Brotherhood, who our Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's assistant is the daughter of one of the former leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood who's passed now, and her mother was also in that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now they bombard and scale the walls. I'm looking at the VFN torch right now. You can see the VFN torch. Go to VFNTV.com and see it, and you can see the video of it. And they're scaling the walls because they've made a choice that what happened in America, we're looking at right now. I'm looking at it, and they're all around the, you can see this on the torch. And it's the Hamas, it's the Muslims that are there. They're saying there's no other God but Allah, there's only one prophet, his prophet, which is Muhammad. And you're seeing it right here where they're standing outside. You can see this on it. See where they're looking? You see what's going on here?
Yeah. Right.
And now they're standing on the walls, they're scaling the walls. This is yesterday. Now they're scaling the walls, and they're ripping down the American flag. They're standing by the flagpole right now. And they ripped it down. They're ripping it apart now. Now, you understand now that our America just said from our platform that there's we don't need God.
Mm-hmm.
Denied him three times. Removed Jerusalem. And you got to always check out JJ. You know, when you're doing these posts, make sure JJ is referred to. Make sure the reference, every single post has all the referenced articles, so you got to have the wholeness of what we're talking about. Jews and Jesus, they hate Christians and they hate Jews, and now they're ripping this down. They're retaliating because of an American Egyptian Christian, you know, who's has done something that they think is insulting to Muhammad, their prophet. Right. And Muhammad says that Jesus is not the Son of God. It says he's got to come back and repent for it. That's what's written in the Quran. You can see that under in the VFN torch under the Quran versus the Bible. You have side by side. You can see the comparison of scripture. So now we just said, forget about Israel. Our president told Israel, if you do attack Iran, you're on your own. And we're not going to back you up. And then he says, I'm not going to meet with you. When you come in on the 24th, I'm choosing not to meet with you. I got some campaign things I got to take care of.
Right.
And now, right now, look at this. They're ripping the flag down. Do we really think, look at this. Do you really think if we deny the sovereignty of God, that God's really going to allow the sovereignty of America? So this is what the sovereignty means of America. It means that we can have a country. Nobody can mess with it. We can defend it. You know, we can make our own laws within it. We can run it the way we want to. It's called sovereign government. Well, God's sovereign. God is sovereign over everything. He's above everything. And that he makes all the laws. And there is nobody above him. Well, if we deny his sovereignty, that he's all-knowing and omnipotent and omnipresent and he's you know, everywhere at the same time, do you really think, America, that he's going to let us keep our nation? Listen, the kingdom of God's going to go on. The church is going to go on. The church has become so integrated with 5.2. We're 5.2% of the world's population, by the way. We'll talk more about that this week. We're 5.2% of the population, but yet we define the other, you know, 99.5% by ourselves, which is, you know, ignorant, as a country guy would say. And now we are about to give up our sovereignty because we're denying the sovereignty of God unless we repent. But look, they're ripping it down. Look at this. And they're saying there's no... They're burning the flag. Now, we're the ones, remember, if you go back and you listen to VFN Radio, and you can find it in your highlights on your phone app or on the VFN Torch, you'll hear it. You'll hear also, you'll hear it about on VFN TV. You can watch it right now. You know, America, Christianity, Islam and Israel, that's the name of it. And it'll begin to give you perspective. And in that, you'll see firsthand our president empowering the Muslim Brotherhood and seeing, he said, it is my, I feel it's my job as the president of the United States to fight against every negative stereotype of Islam in the world.
Wow.
And now, see, now Islam's ripping America's flag down. They are scaling the walls of our embassy. They've already ran off you know, Israel's embassy the second they took over. And look at this. And they're chanting, there's no other God but Allah, and there's only one prophet. His prophet is Muhammad. Mm. Which, by the way, is the call to prayer. It is the call to prayer. It's the call to prayer where they pray four times a day and four times within that. And so you hear it in Arabic, so you don't understand what they're saying. But what they're saying, you can find, go to the VFN Torch and just type in call to prayer and type in any Islam, period, and all the things will come up about it. But their call to prayer, they're saying that Allah is God. And then they say Muhammad is his prophet. The Quran is his law. You know, jihad is his way, you know, and just all these different things that are going on. Well, that's part of the Muslim Brotherhood. Jihad is his way, which means suffrage, by the way, you know, suffering for the cause. But understand, that's what they're chanting. They're chanting the call to prayer. This is what a Muslim hears every single day, four times a day and probably three or four times within that time. Mm-hmm. Right. The eerie sounding call to prayer that, that goes out. That it's going to be happening in, throughout America as we open up all these different mosques. This goes up, and they're basically declaring, without a doubt, that they say that they're anti-Jesus. He's not the Son of God. Mm-hmm. Well, anti-Jesus would be anti-Christ.
Christ.
Right. Right. Let's listen a little bit more. And now they're putting up. There it is. And they had the flag all ripped apart and the stars. And it's just like Josiah, like I said. And it's like Jehoiakim, you know, that, you know, you got take time to go and watch in VFN TV about Josiah. Hmm. Understand that you in America, you are Josiah. You can do something about it.
Right.
And if you feel disempowered, it's because you don't know who you are in God and you don't know who you are in America. And those two things can be removed if you let them go, you know, if you let them go and life can go on without America, but you want your life to go on in God.
That's
right. You want to be able to turn back to God if you've turned away and the church has turned away. I mean, here we are at this point, they're attacking our embassies. I've got more to talk about this. Our president's denying a meeting with Netanyahu. He's already said, if you defend yourself, you know, from Iran, that we're not going to be there for you. While the Green Party wrote a letter during the uprising in Iran and asked the president for help, and he remained silent, but yet he helped with Libya. He helped different countries. He's not helping Syria, and he's not helping Iran. Because Iran, we see the Middle East as colonized areas. He does not see those boundaries. He sees the Ottoman Empire. And if you draw the lines of the Ottoman Empire, you know, that's why you have anti-colonialists saying, you know, Great Britain's coming here and divided up our land. So they don't see the King of Jordan. They don't see Turkey. They don't see, you know, Syria. They don't see Egypt. They just see this whole, all that, like the United States of Islam.
Right.
You know, basically, it's how they kind of see it. Like we see a one America. And so understanding that so he said that here they're ripping our flag down. They are agreeing with our president and his platform. They're saying there's no other God. You know, they're denying our God and denying Jesus. But then now they go from there to Libya, and now they're attacking the embassy in Libya, and they're attacking based on a Christian's viewpoint of a Muhammad. Yusuf, Pastor Yusuf, just got free from jail, but that was a political move.
Right.
But praise God for it. Amen. I'm so grateful because we prayed for his release. But understand that that's the future of the Jews in Jesus, the Christians and the Jews, if we don't wake up. And, you know, brace yourself. You got to hear, you know, brace yourself is what the title of that is.
Right.
And that
it's coming.
It's coming. And that, but it's understand it's not over. It may be over as we comfortably know it, but we will survive. The church will survive and thrive as we get our priorities back on God again. So then go to Libya, and in Libya last night, you know, they kill our ambassador. They stormed the American embassy in Libya, and the ambassador is going to help out, and they mob him. They mob him and they kill him there as he's going to help free the people that are in there. And this is what our president is doing. At the same time, you know, they secretly, as Chris Stevens, who died, the ambassador Chris Stevens, and last night. And now at the same time now, the president is, not the president, but the British, you know, are sending a secret intelligence officer to talk to Benjamin Netanyahu to tell him not to attack Iran, that sanctions will work. And I'm trying to, I have his stuff right here. Let me see. I want to give you his name, because you can look him up and look at his history on Wikipedia to find out what his history is. But he is secretly met with.
Interesting that it has to be done in secret. You know, it's like, why can't this be, you know, what's going on? You know, and I heard that Netanyahu said, the Prime Minister of Israel said, that if the international community refuses to draw red lines on Iran, cannot give a red light to Israel for attacking. It's like, you can't have it both ways. And so, well, you know, this is happening right before us. It's literally happening right before us. You're looking at Egypt, you're looking at Libya, and you're looking at an U.S. ambassador that's been killed, and other staff members. And it's like,
but John, they're actually, and then our president apologizes for Americans again, apologizes to the Muslims in Egypt who were attacking our stuff for the behavior of an American who we're supposed to defend, right? The Americans' right to be able to free speech. But this is at, you know, a MI6, the MI6 chief was sent to, who was over foreign affairs for Great Britain, was sent to, his name is Sir John Sawyer's. And he went there to be able to tell him that sanctions work to hold off a little bit. Well, when you look at who he is, his whole history is in the Middle East. I mean, his career, he worked in Yemen. He worked in Syria. He worked in Damascus. You know, he worked in Africa. He worked in these Middle Eastern countries. He worked with Iraq during their transition of power. Mm-hmm. And it's like, he's working with the Muslim people.
Right.
And so he obviously has a different perspective.
Sure.
And so who hate Benjamin Netanyahu, who hate Israel, and Israel's only 60 miles wide at its widest point. It's not some huge, I mean, it can fit in Rhode Island. It can fit in Rhode Island. You have to understand, you know, how big they are and how small Israel is. They have to defend themselves. And last time they didn't do this, then it was horrific, you know. And hopefully we'll make available, or at least it's available to all the VFN family, you know, God's perspective of Israel. Right. You know, we need to get his perspective of Israel as the church.
Right.
Because in the times when Israel was under persecution, under Great Britain, Hitler and Germany and all the things that were going on, that they're taking them to concentration camps, taking them to ghettos. I got distracted there for a moment. And you know, throwing manure at them on the streets as they were taking their homes from them, shoving them like four or five families in one little small apartment, and then taking them on trains to take them to the concentration camp to kill them, to shoot them, and put them in ovens. That they said that while the trains were passing by the churches that were gathered together and they heard the screaming in the trains, they said they turned their music up.
Mm.
They turned the music up. They sang louder to drown out the noise that was going on. And right now, it's like a deathly vacuum silence, you know, of the church. The church is silent.
Yeah.
And because, see, their hope is in a political outcome, but they don't understand it's Americans that just denied God. It's not that he doesn't see us as different people. I mean, he sees the church as different, but the America just, while the church sat silently, caught in our sins, turned into darkness, allowing people to tell us we can't pray, allowing people to tell us to take down the Ten Commandments, you know, allowing eating another man's groceries and refusing to go after God ourselves
and
find out what God is saying. Now we're about to lose everything, this gift that God's given us. You know, we won't, you won't, which ultimately you don't want to lose your soul. I mean, you don't, you know, don't hold on to something outside of your soul, but hold on to your soul and turn back towards God and encourage your family and others to, too. You can't make them, but you can encourage them to. And then, you know, it's God and country. It's not country and God. It's God and country. And then as we humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways, then he says, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. The concern that I have, that God laid on my heart about Israel and Josiah and what God told Josiah, which was a king that the Lord described as there was not a greater king before him and not a greater king after him. But still, even though he was a great king and did what was right for about 7 years and then he had died, that God was still going to bring to pass what he's going to bring to pass and bring his own people into captivity because of the innocent bloodshed. And like we said yesterday, and the source is available on the VFN Torch, the statistics right there. But in just in 1996, you can imagine what the stats are right now, but this 1996, they're not, they consider way less bad today than they did in 1996. And so what's the big deal of tracking the death of a baby? But that's, there was 3,700 a year, 3,700 a day. There was 1.37 million a year in America. 3,700 a day. Out of 50 states, that's 3 abortions an hour. And if you understand zero tolerance, you know, if you've been one of the VFN churches, you know about zero tolerance. And it's a battle between Elijah and Jezebel that takes place between Baal and God. And that's what you have going on right now. You know, who's your God? Right. You know, choose who you're going to serve. And Moloch was one of the gods, the false gods that God hated the most. Why? They would sacrifice their children to Moloch. They would lay the child on a rock altar, you know, built up, you know, to what they perceived would be what they thought was nice. And then they would just kill the child and let the blood run out. Well, you know, whether it's a rock table or whether it's a metal table, whether it has a mattress on it or it just has a sheet on it, you know, it's still an altar that a baby's life is going to end.
All right.
Yeah.
And it happens. A sacrifice happens now. Back in 96, it happened. With that many in a day's time, that's 3 per hour in every single state. So that means 150 per hour in America. So imagine that the Abel's blood, this just children's blood just crying out. And so way more this happened. I mean, look what happened with the Americans in this recent political gathering that happened in North Carolina. They're just shouting, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. And it's like, it's such a big deal that even Josiah, the greatest king that ever lived based on what was said to him because of what he had done, you know, outside of Jesus Christ, obviously, that everything he did was right, could not stop how God was going to deal with the innocent bloodshed that took place in the land.
Over 50 million in Roe versus Wade, over 50 million children aborted. It's enough children, if you add up the populations of 25 states out of the 50 states in this country.
You know, and people say, well, you know, well, China has the one child policy, but yeah, China's under a tyrant. We actually were presently, at least previously, under a free government. And what does that mean? It means if we continue that same route, then our nation would be under a tyrant and then we will be under oppression. But guess what? The church thrives in China. Church thrives in China. And that, you know, nations come and nations go. But fight for your nation when you're not fighting for your soul. You know, I mean, we want to win the nation. We like to have the nation. But listen, America is a byproduct of Christians who wanted to find a United States of America is a byproduct of Christians who wanted to find a place that they could worship freely and not be told by their government how to worship God. And the pilgrims came first, you know, and then later the Constitution manifested in the First Amendment says it so. They said the government shall make no laws concerning religion. And so in the context of that, understanding it, that that America, United States of America came, of course the Lamb was here, but the Constitution of the United States, the what we have today, the nation that's risen up in this particular land, you know, came because God was being worshipped freely and the government could make no laws because the King of England was over the church. He was God over the church in England. If you actually left a church there, you were actually committing treason, you know, and the reaction is probably similar to what you're seeing with the Muslims react today when people leave Islam or don't say Muhammad is the prophet. Then they were physically assaulted or locked up. Well, that's what happened to the pilgrims. That's what happened to Christians who said, you know, we want to read the Bible. Mm-hmm. It's the epitome of a Jezebel spirit. It's all religion. Mm-hmm. It's all evil. And it does it in the name of some God. And they're going to kill you. And they're going to try to control you through all the religious rules, regulations, and requirements and all these different kind of things. And versus, you know, out of loving obedience. And so we can't fight for America without fighting for the church and ourselves. And if we get back with God, maybe God will give us our nation. You know, maybe God will turn this nation back over to a people who says that God is our God, Jesus is our Lord, and all of our rights come from him. And we will honor him not only on our walls of our government institutions, but we'll honor him in our schools and in our hearts and in our jobs. We'll teach about him again in our schools. I mean, that's what it's going to take. It's not going to be, there's no a quantitative spiritual easing, you know, thing is going to come out right here. I mean, we're going to have to go all the way with this thing. Mm-hmm. And there's no political, you know, adjusting here. The thing has been pushed so far. The flesh has been fanned so hard. And everybody has their own authority that God has given them. And you're going to have to get people to buy into, you know, do we want to give up all this sin? Do we want to give all this up? You know, and it's not that people deny God for God. They actually deny God quite often because they just don't want to deny their sin.
Right. Sure.
And God's very acknowledgement makes me realize that I'm doing things that has eternal consequences in my life. And he points me out. His very presence points me out. And so therefore I will deny him, not because he's God, but because I don't want to give up my life of sin. And I want to encourage you that we've all sinned and we've all fallen short, and that God can forgive sin. He can fix the sin problem, and he can empower you to walk a life where you're not sinless, but you hate the sin that you once loved, and that his empowerment through his spirit can help you walk out. I mean, you're going to be dependent upon him, but that's what he wants. He's cool with that. And he will empower you to say no to things you couldn't say no to. He will give you the ability to put that drug down or to leave those kind of relationships or to start doing business in the right way, you know, start governing your district in the right way instead of selling out with all these bribes. Let me tell you something, Mr. Politician, Mrs. Politician, you're written about over and over again in the Word of God. And God says very specifically about those who sell justice. Those who judges who sell themselves out for a political gain or for a financial gain that takes bribes, you know, and leaders, and that, you know, he sees it, even though the men like it, the ones that are buying you off, they like it. Listen, God's going to deal with that. You know, God's going to deal with that. It's time. He cares about how we're treating the poor. He cares about how we're treating, bringing justice to everybody, that we're being fair. And we need to discover all this again. It's a journey. And it begins with abiding with God. We're going to talk more about this in the extra hour, but just, you know, brace yourself, be ready. We're going to talk about, we need to finish talking about, you know, Katrina and Ivan yesterday, and we're going to pick up at the extra hour and finishing what we're talking about, because there's so much more to brace yourself. I mean, you got to hear this. For those that are leaving us, God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Don't forget, you can catch us on your VFN TV app on your phone and your iPads, or at VFNTV.com. And those that are staying with us, we'll see you on the other side. God bless.